You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic, or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter...
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Good news, everyone!
Hello, folks, and welcome to the world of tomorrow. I'm your host, Daniel.
And I'm Ari Shapiro.
I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News. In Jerusalem today, we saw...
That was pretty good, actually. That was pretty good.
The bated breath. It's all about the bated breath. And then you have to hear, like, a rustling of paper. Like,
yeah, and it's always... It's all about the Lake Wobegon nose breath.
Yes.
It was a wonderful day. And Lake Wobegon.
Week in Lake Wobegon. Wake Lobegon.
Wait, I just saw your name.
Today on Riverside, I listed myself as Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Which I will say is a great take on the now culturally inappropriate way of saying miso horny. Because I always thought miso horny was like a child's way of saying it, like, daddy, me want milk, whatever, you know, like me so horny.
Okay,
like,
so you thought the issue with it wasn't that it was racist, it was that it was age inappropriate.
No, not at all. I didn't think there was any issue with it, but I thought it was like,
okay, so
like,
you are pro pedophilia.
Firstly, as a gay
they
man,
have a lot to offer.
I am a groomer, and by
right,
grooming,
right, of course, by default.
By default, yes. And I mean grooming of only French bulldogs, because gay men only have French bulldogs and we groom them incessantly
to
be the nicest, cleanest,
kindest. You know what I was thinking about today? I don't like small dogs, but I do like Frenchies. That's like if I had to have a small dog, it would be that.
Frenchies are a very what's the word I'm looking for?
Stout.
Creating opinions of love or hate. Divisive,
polarizing.
They're very yes. Oh my gosh!
Much like Arctic bears of the north, they're very polarizing.
I was going to say, someone get this guy a Coca-Cola. Speaking of which, I might have myself a cola.
You know what's fucked up about those commercials? That insinuates that Coca-Cola's reach and our pollution has reached gone so far as to pollute the Arctic Circle, and now bottles of Coke are washing up on icebergs for polar bears to drink.
Firstly, I read it in more of a converse manner. It's that polar bears are coming from the Arctic. Their addiction for Coca-Cola, it was given to them by an explorer, and it's so heavy that they are now invading northern Canada to take out all their stockpiles of Coca-Cola.
Well, hey, riddle me this. Who is the original cocaine bear, but the polar bear is drinking Coca-Cola from the early 20th century?
Legally?
Riddle me this, Batman. cocaine bear...
That was full on binge bureau. Okay. Yeah. So let's assume that you're a polar bear.
Hypothetically,
you are addicted to Coca-Cola. So riddle me this. If you are actually addicted to Coca-Cola, what are you doing in the United States of America? And why do you belong here?
Exactly. Well, anyway, guys, welcome to the podcast. I was going to say the woodcast, like Winnie Woody Weechie, like vodka. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the world of tomorrow. Of course, I'm Ari Shapiro.
Do you want to welcome in anywhere else? Huh? Well, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the world tomorrow. Welcome to...
First of all...
Uh-huh.
We
have begun. Willie is trying a tight 45, and I'm proud of him for it. I'm proud.
No, it wasn't that. It was that I said welcome to the podcast, and then I realized that our catchphrase is welcome to the world of tomorrow. So that's why I said that.
Oh, okay. And then you woke. Okay. Well, you know
like
what?
The Quentin Tarantino, Kyle Dunnigan's Quentin. Okay. So okay. Dora is an explorer, but she's got a machete. Okay.
And then he has some kind of weird foot fetish all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, anyway, you're looking great. Glasses, the black headphones, and the black
teeth. Black is so slimming. It's so slimming right now. You can't – I'm 2D right now. And, you know, I've been outside a lot. I'm kind of tan for me in the last 5 years.
And it's also a very – you were right about the t-shirts. I will say, last time we hung out
– I told you.
I was called out about t-shirts. It was accidental. Both his hands were off.
My notebook fell onto my keyboard and it hit the enter key.
I'm sure. Sounds likely.
I wasn't trying to litigate
I need to get some good t-shirt. What's the brand of that t-shirt?
This is – I don't know actually. I got this at Pacific Pipe during this year's Citizen Climbing Competition.
Oh, the CCC. The CCC.
Daniel just made himself hungry by thinking about Cheeseman Cheddar Chippies.
Oh, yes. And that actually is a good segue to my good news, in fact.
Okay, well, why don't we get into a little something that we like to call...
Good news, everyone.
So you've heard this storied journey, if one will. This... tome of disappointment, dilapidation, and distrust between my roommate myself and myself, as well as our landlord.
Oh, about the Halloween decorations.
No.
It's you v your roommate and your landlord about how many Halloween decorations are appropriate.
Oh, that is true. Yes, my roommate and I. Well, he immediately capitulates once I give the puppy dog eyes, and he's like, God damn it, all right, just get more. But my roommate and I are one party. Our other party is the landlord. They have been sucking hind teat, as my mother would say, just absolutely fucking us every turn. They're like, we're going to get a new kitchen. We're going to get a new kitchen. We're going to do these things. We've had contractors come. But the owner keeps rejecting all the bids, blah, blah, blah. Well, your girl, being the daughter of Gretchen Bukow Cheeseman, the queen of bitching. Queen. Slay queen.
As you say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, baby.
Boom. And this wheel can...
Sorry, I clicked the wrong button. I was trying to give you the say squeaky wheel gets the grease one more time.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease, baby. I love these hot fingers on the keypad, honestly.
Sorry, guys. Once again, I've not memorized the new layout. It randomly reordered my soundboard, and I'm having a lot of difficulty. I can't change it either. I don't know.
Right. Tragedy on part of 9/11.
Please go ahead. Daniel faded hard out of existence for a second and then came back in. Snap.
Right back in. So I write this very, very strongly worded message, and I was like, we're going to rent board pursuant to section 358 of the rent code.
Okay, I remember
you saying
this.
You have to do this, da-da-da. So I finally wrote that out, and what do you know? After being told for months that there's nothing they could do to hasten the process or something we can do to expedite things.
There's a bunch of things they can do.
Weirdly enough, Monday I get a call, and it's, hey, this is your contractor. I just got an accept from the bid I did like 3 months ago. Are you guys still down?
God. And they were sloppy about it too.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't even like, oh, we'll have a new one come. It was let's pull
just accept
from
the one that we got. Yeah. So I was like, all right, fuck it. So we have to get all of our shit out of our kitchen on this Sunday. We have to
Sunday,
which is after like
get
a Halloween
bar crawl. Get your
shit
out of the kitchen and let it be crushed by Monster Truck Rally,
the Grave Digger, which my little nephews went to go see, and it looked like it was actually really fun. But you would kind of need to be like three or four beers deep.
Insane shit.
Yeah,
I've seen clips on TikTok of by way of Instagram of monster trucks doing like insane flips where like they go straight up and then came back down up like another half pipe like on like 20 feet away or 10 yards away and like land it like it's like a fucking skateboard trick, but it's literally a guy in a car going like 50 feet in the air. It's insane.
This is not a tech deck, and not just a guy in a car. This is a man in a automobile that is four times bigger than a normal car.
The car is the same, but the tires are crazy, which also means that the engine, the amount of torque you would need to be able to do that, is pretty insane, right? Because those cars are all about acceleration, right? They're not about top speed. They're about like going from nothing to launching up a ramp like in under 5 seconds or whatever.
Right. Also, the way you said torque reminds me of Instella when they're like, what do you think of the book? And one of the Michaels is like, I loved it. I porked it. I literally porked it.
Yeah, he fucked a book. I love that one.
But yeah, so got a new kitchen on the way. Hopefully, knock on wood, all goes well. The guy's like, yeah, I can get it done in a week. So hopefully by the time
old Gretel comes to visit. From that.
Yeah, well, I went about a week back. But yeah, so hopefully we'll have that all taken care of.
And I hope so too.
We'll have a nice new kitchy and I can actually cook in a real kitchen. And I'm going to – this little Christian is going to go straight to Amazon and buy lots of organizers. Okay, organize.
We're going to get all the organizers.
We're going to – everyone's going to say it's beautifully put together. Looks like art. It's not.
Here are the best ones. It's the best
organization. Amazon recommended. They recommend.
They recommended it.
You know it's the best. What's your good news, my lord?
My good news is that my girlfriend gave me a smartwatch. She received it for free from something a while ago. I can't remember what it was. So
they're called swatches.
It is pink, like a light pink, which I kind of like, actually.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And I've added it to sort of my exercise thing that I –
Is that the Google or the Fitbit?
This is a Samsung.
Oh, we're a Fitbit family because I go there for lunch all the time.
To Fitbit?
Yeah.
Their
cafe is, yeah.
They have a cafe?
Yeah.
What do you crunch? Computer chips?
Firstly, they're called microchips. You're in Silicon Valley. Okay, new rule.
No, Silicon Valley is in Indiana. We all know that.
Oh my God, silly. Silly Corn Valley. That's a children's book, and we have to
literally,
write it. It's about
literally a corn maze that's probably open right now. It is Spooktober, the month of corn mazes.
Oh, Spook Central. Silly Corn Valley.
The harvest moons are aligning.
That is correct. And let me just say, they're in retrograde. Okay.
They're in Gatorade.
These harvest moons are in Gatorade.
The blue kind, the best kind.
The Arctic ice. Chill, Arctic ice.
Arctic. I do love anything of a Trump voice talking about anything but politics. Like, talking about Gatorade is so good.
Nobody likes the yellow. It's basically just pee. Lemonade.
It looks like pee.
Looks like pee-pee. Like pee. And nobody likes it. Lemons are for losers, everybody says.
I'm very tickled by that. I love that. Anyway, guys, well, that is going to be it for the news today. What do we move on?
You didn't give your good news, you dingle dong.
I literally just said it. I said it's this watch that I have.
Oh, yeah. That's the second week in a row I've done that.
Oh, my God. You just don't listen to me.
I feel like you're not listening to me. I'm just transfixed by your beauty.
Thank you so much.
And that t-shirt.
I'm doing like a cool pose right now. It's kind of like a nonchalant pose.
That is what Matthew McConaughey leans against the high school and does. But instead of a mic in your hand, you have a cigarette.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
There's a guy on Instagram. I don't know his name, but he does an amazing McConaughey. And he does all these great ones where it's like McConaughey in different movies. Like if he was like Snape or whatever. And
oh, I've like seen talk, that one,
it's
yeah.
so good. And then there's another guy who does an amazing Owen Wilson. And I love one.
Ka-chow!
He's like Owen Wilson as Voldemort. And he's like, the boy who lived. Ka-chow! Instead of Avada Kedavra, it's ka-chow!
Ka-chow! Yes, I do love that one. But yeah, today, so that's our good news.
Today we are covering season 5, episode 14. Absolutely famous, which does make it sound like I have an accent.
Whoa, whoa, absolutely. Whoa, 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 whoa. Firstly, if I may, Your Honor, this is titled Absolutely Fabulous, which is a pun on a British series that is gay camp central and famous amongst gays called Absolutely Fabulous.
Oh, wait.
And if you've ever, or Abfab, as we.
Oh, you're right. It is fabulous. I literally just had like a brain fart where last time I looked, last week when I wrote it down, I just saw Absolutely Fat. I said famous.
Oh, and you're like famous. Like,
and then I wrote that
famous.
Down. And then today I just wrote it down from my notes from last week. So apologies.
Oh, no, all good. But Abfab is like it's you've seen that picture of the blonde woman who has bright red lipstick. She's like in Manhattan. She's holding up a bottle of Stoli and smoking a cigarette. It was like a big meme, like really, really early meme days. And it's like she's like
so.
This. Oh, my gosh. It is very like famous. You're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Abfab. Oh, my gosh. This is really going to bother me.
Daniel is currently trying to poop.
Oh, Abfab Patsy. That's what her name is. I know this. I love this show.
Have you seen
it? Here's something. Here's something. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Here's
okay, I got 80
yes.
cough. I got 85 gosh.
I can't believe
one of them exploded
himself.
On me. Like exploded and burned me all over.
I'm two-faced now. I'm two-faced.
It's crispy.
Okay, can you see my screen? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
No, not yet.
Okay, can you see
now
that?
I can.
Do you remember this picture?
I've literally never seen this in my life.
It was like a big meme, and she's like she's like smoking, and she's like drinking out of a straight bottle of Stoli, and she's like, ooh. So this is Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous. She's like one of the best characters, and she chain smokes and drinks and hates children, and that
AKA
just kind
you.
Of yeah, I was gonna say AKA me, and that's kind of just like the gay vibe all the time. For
right,
us.
Right, right, right.
Like it's kind of just very on
well,
brand.
You know,
for
I
me.
Learned
it's not
something.
Everyone, but you
I
know.
Learned something today because I've never seen that in my entire life. So
yeah, sorry for the aside. But yes, absolutely fabulous.
Fabulous. Absolutely.
Absolutely fabulous.
Absolutely. And so this is an episode that I kind of was like thinking about the name and I was like, obsolete, this has got to be Robot 1X and Bender's journey with low-tech robots, which is a classic. I was excited to watch it. And now, yeah, basically the plot is mom releases a brand new robot called Robot 1X, and it's sort of meant to mirror like Jobs releasing like the iPhone or like the iPod or whatever. And I think it was really the iPod because that would have lined up aesthetically and around the time, right? 2003.
Yeah, that's a good question. I want to say it's the MacBook, like the first MacBook, because that was like remember the white ones that were plasticky on the outside? That's the design that's giving me.
To me, well, because similarly, the iPods at the time, you know, the first gen one has like the dial on it and like the buttons on it and shit.
Right. But it was like, oh, see, this is May of 2006 was the MacBook. So you were right. I think
so
this was
I'm
2005.
Right. Of course I'm right because I'm so smart.
And you? You're always right.
But anyway, it definitely gives you like Steve Jobs. They love making fun of Apple in this one because especially comparing Mom Corp to Apple, like the one where the Planet Express crew, the 80s guy episode where the Planet Express crew makes like – are you talking to me?
Oh, talking to Lexi.
He muted and then talked to Alexa, and I thought he was telling secrets.
And she turned my lights on. Thank you, darling.
And the 80s guy does the commercial for them, and it's like them doing the Apple commercial against Microsoft.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, that theme continues here.
Which,
and,
could I just say, fuck Microsoft and their stupid cloud. Fuck you and your fucking apples.
Wait,
you remember that reference? I hate Miss Rogi and her stinky apples.
Who said that?
Fucking Joel McPherson.
Oh my god.
Blast from the past.
I hope he's
no
doing
idea
well.
Where that came from.
I hope
he
he's
is,
doing
I think.
Well.
I think he is. But my god, phenomenal random thing to say stuck with me since
clearly
because
I don't remember that at all. Third grade.
Yeah, Miss Rogi was in third grade.
Mrs. Rogi.
Remember Mrs. Rogi? She had kind of a witch's nose and brown hair, and she was really short, and she was a sub and a college teacher.
Mrs. Rogi. Oh. What am I thinking of? Who was
Christian
Schoenberger's
had a crush on her?
What was Schemberger's original name?
Oh.
I thought that was Rosie.
Sir, Mrs. Sarver.
Sarver.
Yes.
This is Sarver. Sarver.
I'm Sarver. She was an absolute cunt.
She was the definition.
Thank you. I was like, was cunt too hard? Then I was like, no. Thinking back on it,
no, she really was, because it wasn't just that she was like a bitch. It was like she would just hate it. She was just, look, it's one thing to be a teacher and be annoyed with kids. It's another thing to be like, you do everything in your power to be
make
kids'
lives worse.
Yeah.
Right.
And then come in crying when your cat ran away the one time. And then
when it was like,
no one feels
it was
bad.
Just after some national tragedy, too. Like, it was just after
it was like
the 9, bombings
12,
in London or
2001.
Something. It's like, my cat ran away and I just.
Oh, my God. Like, have you seen the news?
Right. Have you turned on Fox News? Because I'm sure that's
the
what you're
The London Underground was just bombed and 100 people died.
My cat ran away and I don't
my
know where to go.
My cat Whiskers ran away. And then, of course, the next day he was like, she came back at lunch. It's like, okay, so it wasn't really that scary.
Right. And maybe don't take all your personal stuff out on the kids who are like,
yeah,
we
maybe,
don't want to do anything to harm you.
Now, that being said, if I had a cat and it ran away, I would definitely call off of work.
Right, but you have the wherewithal to call off of work and not
true.
Take it out on your coworkers.
She's stupid for not doing that, right? She could have gotten a sub.
Eggs crackly. Rat city.
Anyway, so this episode is Robot 1X makes Bender feel very inadequate, and he has to go get an upgrade. And then the adventure ensues. So we start off here with them being at the robot convention. And of course, after Fry goes to the soul detector and he has to pay $10 because he has a soul.
Right.
The first robot we see is Nannybot 1.0, and it's like a giant, like evil
killbot, pretty much.
Like robot, yeah. And it's like, goji, goji, go. But then I'm like, whose baby is that? Whose baby is in
okay,
the display at RobotCon?
Think about fucking people in Hollywood. They are more than happy to get their baby out there and get the baby's name out there so they can like have money. Like they're all
fucking
awful.
But there's no credits
here.
There's no credits. This is a booth at a
– it's
that's
a
like
show
sacrificing
booth. It's
your
a demo
baby
booth.
At Comic-Con.
Yeah,
no,
people would do that.
Is there. No one important is at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I mean
– take that, Matt Groening.
I would say Pedro Pascal.
Okay, but circa 2003? Huh? Maybe now because comics are cool. Nerds are cool again. But 2003, we were definitely in a space where nerds are not cool.
Okay.
Riddle me this,
new
Batman.
Rule. Joker, where is she?
Where is she? But we had sex. In a very strange order.
But that ass tits mouth. Ass match mouth.
The one,
we've all been there, B-Man.
Did I tell you that Pete Holmes is like a broken clock? He's funny twice every – like he's sort of every once
twice
in a while.
Twice a decade?
Twice a decade.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You totally absolutely turned my eyes – or opened my eyes to that. And I was like,
he's
sucks.
He's so fucking annoying. And it's just –
yeah, he is really annoying.
It's not because of what he says. It's because of how he says it, I think.
Yeah, and like I just – I don't think his stuff is groundbreakingly funny. Like he doesn't have a niche. He doesn't fall into like, oh, he's like
no,
the funny.
No, he thinks
like,
he has a niche, which is clean comedy. But it's like you're
not
Jim Gaffigan.
Well, right. But that's also like I feel like you need a niche within your clean comedy, right? Like your clean comedy is about being a dad. Your clean comedy is about like
true.
Your job and how much it sucks or
Jim
being
Gaffigan
a millennial.
It's about being overweight and being a father.
And being a Midwesterner, like that's like,
yeah.
Okay, great. You've got your like ideal.
But the thing is, Pete Holmes's normal interests are so inaccessible to the normal person. You can't talk about that because he loves like stoicism and like philosophy and like metaphysics and shit like that, where it's like a topic that Joe Rogan would want to talk about, but in a way that's like. Probably a bit more informed. You know, I'll give him credit for that. He's probably reading the like better books as far as that goes, rather than just hearing his producer talk about it like Joe Rogan seems to do. But like,
right.
Most people don't know what that is. So it's like, you can't make that your niche because then no one's going to give a shit.
Because no one gave a shit in the first place. Right. Unless you make it like really palatable, and he does not do that.
Anyway, this is the Pete Holmes hate podcast.
Yes. More like anyway, Pete Holmes, more like Feet Holmes. Fuck Pete Holmes, you.
More like sheet combs.
Yeah, take that, P. Toms.
P. Holmes.
Any P.P. Toms? Now it's too dark.
It is that time of year. It's starting to get dork early. Anyway.
When do we fall back? Soon, right?
Get back.
Fall back.
It's in November, okay. Is it not?
Yeah, I think it's like right before your birthday, actually. In like the next couple weeks.
My second 30th birthday? I mean, my third
30th
birthday.
Oh, what are we doing for that?
Dinner?
Drinks? Nothing?
Not planned anything yet, so.
All right. We could also always just go grab lunch and podcast.
Yes, it always makes me very – I go through this cycle every year, which is – it's 2 months out. I think, wouldn't it be fun if I had a great birthday party? It's 6 weeks out. I'm thinking, yeah, that should be good. I need to get on planning that so that people have enough lead time to in their schedule.
To make sure they can fix it.
4 weeks out. I start thinking, actually, I don't really want to do that because I feel like it's just going to be too much work and I'm going to get my expectations up and then I'll be disappointed. Then it's 2 weeks out and I change my mind and no one can come because they've already made plans. So right now we're in between weeks 4 and 2 there. And right now I feel like I don't care. I don't need to do anything, but I'm sure as soon as
it's – either way, I'll be
in
there.
4 days. Thank you, PD. In 4 days, I'll be like, no, never mind. I want
streamers. I want cake.
I want my friends to say nice things about me.
Yeah. Flirty, dirty,
or squirty.
Or squirty. So back to the 1X fucking robot.
So mom releases 1X, demonstrates that he's like vastly superior, and then Bender is like becomes like a crybaby, basically because robot 1X is essentially better at everything than he is.
Yes, and during this time, the 1X robot just basically greatly outproves Bender, and Bender's like so subservient, which is very interesting. He's like, boy, that 1X robot sure made me seem like a pile of trash, huh? And
yeah, at first he is, until the professor buys one.
Yes, and then his tune changes, and so the 1X robot saves his life after they were supposed to put a satellite dish to impress their neighbors. Fake satellite dish. It saves his life, and then Bender basically – I love this, the dramaticism here where he like hops into the living room where everyone's watching TV in like one of those 1980s metal trash cans.
Yeah. Which is like, why do they still have it? Like, it's the year 3000.
He's like, oh, don't mind me. I'm just in the trash where I belong. And everyone's like, okay.
Yeah, like he's trying to have a pity party, but no one cares.
Yeah, but this is like the second Bender-centric episode we get in a row in this season. So I always thought that the Bender-centric ones came after.
You know what I was just thinking on that note? There's no B plot.
It's oh, there isn't, Bender. Is there? Yeah, that's right. I didn't really get that.
They normally have some other thing going on.
Like a Zoidberg and Hermes something kind of deal to like sink up or soak up 5 to 8 minutes. Or something. Yeah, there's no B plot.
So anyway, Bender finally is like, fine, I'll go get upgraded so I can be compatible with Robot 1X. And he goes to Mom Corp to get upgraded, and he sees Rodrigo, the stabby robot, who's right in front of him in line.
Not Rodrigo.
What's his name? Roberto.
Roberto, yeah.
So Roberto's there, and he's like, yeah, I have to come get the upgrade because my parole officer took away my stabbing knife and said he won't give it back until I like Robot 1X. And then Bender sees him, like, completely change after he goes through this, like, procedure, which is just kind of looks like they're getting, like, their head electrocuted as they're reprogrammed. And so
When that's happening to Roberto, I had the subtitles on, as you can see, And because you know how Roberto goes, ha 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 ha. Yeah, yeah. The subtitle just said karate yelling.
Karate yelling.
I was like, that's fucking perfect.
It's like, I guess that is the best way to describe that.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I'll just die alone.
yeah, welcome to my life.
So then Bender basically is in – I got a clean one for you there. And Bender is like he starts the procedure, but then he's like, I changed my mind. And he like breaks out of the shackles, manacles.
Oh, I think it is a manacle.
Because is a manacle attached to something like a wall, whereas a shackle
and a shackle is freestanding?
It's like on a chain.
A manacle is a shackle of the hands, a handcuff, a manacle. So it's a manacle is the single cuff, and shackles are both, it seems. So I would say they're synonymous. I would say they're nearly interchangeable.
Well, but a shackle can go on your ankle. A manacle.
Right. So
that would be
a manacle is just a single shackle. A metal bond, chain, or shackle for fastening someone's hands or ankles. Verb to fetter with manacles.
John Fetter.
Remember that song? If your soul isn't fettered to an office stool, then be careful to be guided by this golden rule.
What?
You saying that?
Of course we
do. Close to your desk and never go to sleep.
Oh my God. How on earth do you remember this shit?
It's from HMS Pinafore. So good.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it was a banger back in 2001, man.
Oh,
fourth
my
grade.
God.
My soul was fettered to
this
an office
like
stool,
this
bitch.
Is the main thing that I feel like puts you on the spectrum. Is like your encyclopedic knowledge of all of the songs you learned in elementary school.
It's not even a knowledge. It's literally just deep-seated
it's
like
intuition.
Sound memory. Like sound wave memory, or when I hear a word or like a series of notes, it's like bing, and then I like go right back to being in fourth grade and singing out of it.
You're like a sleeper agent, but for elementary school choir songs.
It's literally
it's
me
like
doing
Alpha,
That's So Raven.
Charlie, Dusk, Bravo, Moon,
and then
Rise.
That's So Raven.
And then you're like,
See, I'm not the only one, bitch.
Okay, but we've sang that one for many times over the years. I've never heard you sing the HMS Manafort, whatever.
Pinafore. Stick close to your desk and never go to sea, and you'll only be the ruler of the King's Navy. That was also one of my favorite ones because you had to sing faster and faster.
Oh, the King's Navy part, I remember that.
See?
But you knew all the lyrics. All right.
That was a banger, too.
All right, let's slow down there.
Okay. Hey, that's a Korean folk song. That's a banger, too. Let's not forget our friends.
I'm not saying
to
it's
the
not
east.
A banger. I'm saying
don't forget them. The greatest songs ever. K-pop. Have you heard of it?
Did you know, PD, speaking of Korea, that Korean fried chicken was introduced to Korea originally by like black expats after the World War II? Or no, sorry, after the Korean War?
Really? Like, wait, expats as in like GIs?
Like soldiers. Like soldier, black soldiers who were in Korea, South Korea, introduced that method of frying chicken. And then that's how we now have like the modern sort of like Korean style fried chicken.
Oh, neat. I did not know that. That's
Isn't
super
that amazing.
Cool. Culinary history is fucking amazing because A, it's about food, but B, it's always stuff that you would never realize like these two cultures came together in this random ass way, and they created something that was similar from one to the earth from one to the other, but then it became a new thing. I mean, it's just all fucking
I obsessed. Recently learned slash put the pieces together that Italy got pasta from China.
Oh, I think I've heard something like this, like noodles,
like
not pasta.
Noodles, flour, wheat flour noodles originate in China. And then it somehow, maybe Marco Polo, some bastard like that, brings it back. And then now they're like, we've got the pasta.
We've got the pasta.
It's part of our culture.
All of his sins are forgiven for inventing carbs that you can slurp.
Marco.
In a European sense, I guess. Oh, liquid turkey soup. Anyways, we digress yet again. So Bender basically is escaping. He grabs a sign that says no boating, folds the metal sign into a canoe.
That's a classic Futurama joke, is a sign that says boating prohibited, and then he turns the sign into a boat.
Right, and he basically goes and he's like, please guide my voyage, merciful Poseidon, and it goes to commercial and comes back, and he's like basically getting tossed about by the waves, and he's yelling, curse you, merciful Poseidon.
Yeah, I love curse you, merciful. It's so great. Then Bender gets like crash landed on shore, and he's kind of just stranded there for a while. He grows his like little like rust 5 o'clock shadow because he doesn't have any booze. He tries digging for he has a blender in his thing, and he finds a yam. He's like, great, I'll make some yam schnapps. But then he tries to plug his blender into various things that don't work, like a tree, a beehive, and then he tries to plug it into the snout of, like, a wild boar. Yeah. And then the boar gets mad. He's like, I'm not done yet. Turn around. And so continuing that, he's going to try to plug it into his butt.
We love a good butt joke. So Bender basically comes upon or passes out on the beach. These four robots come upon him. One that's a water wheel, which I love, played by the venerable Tress McNeil. One that is a cassette tape bot. So basically it's like the idea is like VHS, but it's only audio. So I guess tapes. One of the
remember how those clapping cassettes monkeys came out before VHS's PD?
Yes, of course.
VHS tape buffer audio.
Right, but they're like the size of a VHS, which is what made me think VHS.
Oh, I feel like they're kind of in between. They're cartridges. That's what he's called.
Cartridge. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
And then Sinclair 2.0, who 2K. Basically just has no – or 2K, yeah, who has no memory.
And then one of those little monkey with the
symbols. That have symbols, which – when were those ever popular? I feel like that's the 30s. Like, people are like, I say, is that a monkey with symbols? That's amazing. Skeleto, skeleto, skeleto. Like, dancing to the symbols.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Google that while we continue. So Then they're kind of teaching Bender about their ways, which is like, this is an island of obsolete robots. And so, like, we don't like technology. We just, like, want to be one with nature. And so then, of course, Bender Bender, like any time as normal, Bender kind of leans too far into that. And at one point they know he misses technology, so they find a washing machine that had washed up on shore and they give it to him as a gift. And he's like, at first he's really excited, but then he realizes like, oh, like I don't want to disrespect my new friends. Like this is my love of technology has just like held me hostage for my whole life. So he's like, fuck technology. And then the cartridge bot is like, but Bender, you're the most technologically advanced thing on this island. And he's like,
right.
Not for long. So Bender undergoes a procedure which turns him entirely into wood instead of metal, which is funny because I'm thinking about it. I'm like, to make a wooden robot is almost more advanced than making a metal one.
Right. And the fact that later on he says he's steam powered, which is like a steam powered wooden robot. Okay. Also, the cymbal-banging monkey toy, also known as Jolly Chimp, was invented in 1950s Japan.
Okay. And when does it say when it came to America and were popularized in American media?
Mid-60s to early 70s, Charlie the Chimp. Or Peppy the Tumbling Monkey with Cymbal. Or Clockwork Musical Monkey with Clashing Cymbals. Let's get a little bit
that
more
verbose. That one really rolls off the tongue.
Right, exactly. Magic Monkey, Charlie Chimp,
no
Musical
way,
Monkey.
Oh, no way, Mom. They've got the Clockwork Musical Chimp.
Musical Monkey with Clashing Cymbals.
So, yeah, Bender basically becomes the leader of this group. And I love this line. He goes, like, it's not just us that needs to be, like, technologically, like, set back a few centuries. Like, the whole world needs to know. He said, the whole world must learn of our peaceful ways by force.
By force,
and
yes.
then the cartridge bot is like, what? He puts – it's just a cartridge that just says what on it, and that's
what?
All he says. And then at another point, he takes it out and puts it back in and just says, what?
What?
The exact same way.
Yes, it's literally the exact same thing as – war were declared.
War. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love that. That's a good Futurama trope. So Bender basically creates.
War were declared.
What's that?
War were declared.
That is what the soundboard is for.
That is
for,
what the
baby.
Soundboard is for. I need to get one from this episode where it's the lady screaming before she runs back.
I'm not going to make it this time. She's like, but Bender. She's like, totally fine.
Anyways, Bender.
So they come up with a submarine, which is like the most advanced of
boats.
It's a
wooden submarine.
But I guess it makes sense because she can like, it's like halfway full of water. So she has water. So that kind of scans, I guess.
But also you would need to fill it halfway. Otherwise it would float to the top. So you actually would have to have it be partially
true.
Full of water,
yeah.
To make it
buoyant. And they don't need oxygen. So right. Yeah. Although if they're powered by a combustion engine like alcohol, they might need oxygen. Either way, we're not getting into it. They basically go and wreak havoc on Manhattan and like basically just like do a bunch of stupid shit, like take a bunch of magnets to computer stores and destroy like minor amounts of technology. And Bender's like, our journey isn't over until we destroy the 1X robot. So he goes back. They like destroy the power. Then he goes back and he's like,
outside of the Planet Express HQ.
Yes. And I can't remember what he says, but it's something along the lines of like, I'm here to free you from your high tech lives.
Yeah, it's like very
just
poetic.
High tech part, not the live part. Because he didn't want to kill, like made it clear he didn't want to kill him this time around, which I thought was kind of funny writing.
Yeah.
A lot of the times he
normally
does want to kill
he's
them.
Saying kill all humans.
Right. So basically they're like, he's like, no, aim at the crew, and Sinclair Bot's like, who's that? Okay, firing. Response. So he just shoots.
And then,
and then
they're like in the Bender's in the camera, and we're inside Planet Express, and Bender's like calling for them to fire like this catapult, and you can hear the like classic cartoonish like. And at one point, Zoidberg is like, so what are we doing? Like he like gets bored. No,
he's like, so it looks like everything's gonna be okay. What are we doing?
Crashes through.
Yeah, exactly. It was a great singular Zoidy moment.
So basically, a fire gets started, and everyone gets crushed. Everyone but Bender gets crushed underneath Planet Express ship, and so basically, mm-hmm. Bender can't help them because he's made of wood, and there's a fire, and his limbs burn off. And so essentially the only person that can help is Robot 1X. So Bender has to like ask Robot 1X for help. He comes and saves the day.
Bender says, okay, well, I can basically use you as a tool to make me look good. Robot 1X, please save my friends. And Zoidberg.
And then after that, he like becomes appreciative. And then it turns out he wakes up from being in the programming thing, and like everything we just saw was essentially a dream.
Right, exactly.
Bender loves Robot 1X.
And so, yeah, so we put a bow on it with Bender, ending up loving Robot 1X, and we never see Robot 1X ever again after this episode.
Right. Who is voiced by Phil Lamar.
Yes, very well voiced. Yeah, very good, like stoic robot voice, but yeah. Not too electronic-y. So how many fresh pine or how many puffs of fresh pine scent would you give this?
I like this one a lot. I was definitely running behind today, so I was kind of in a rush through it. But I feel like this one is like a 4 out of 5 for me. It's a very original plot. Even though it is like sometimes the Bender heavy ones can be kind of annoying, but I feel like this one has enough to like break it up that it ends up being really good. And there are a lot of one-liners. The bits with the cartridge bot have always been so good to me. Like he has one.
Yeah,
that
I love
the
cartridge
bot. Snappy comeback, and it just goes, "Your mother."
Your mother.
It's like a 1950s.
He's very cordial when he says it.
Yeah, it's like a 1950s like info. What are those called?
And I love it when he has one cartridge that's like moment of clarity, and it's like, but Bender, da 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 da. So it's like he had literally had a cartridge that said like Bender's name on it.
You're the most advanced thing on this island.
Right, exactly.
Which also is just a clue that it's like a fever dream of Bender's.
Oh, true. Yes, that's a good point. Today. Oh, yeah. That is
what would
point.
You rate this, Phoebe?
I give it 3.75 for all the reasons you said. I liked it. I thought it had a lot of good one-liners, good Bender. It was just I needed a little bit more diversity. You're right about
the
point
with
the B-plot. There was
no space travel.
And there was no space travel. And we needed more fishes. We needed more Lamar animation. That was heard and received, and I'm so glad I have Smell-O-Vision.
Podcasters, the toot slipped out.
Well, you know what?
And that it's happens. Stinky, and I might die in my own office.
Well, you know what? We'll have a little bit of time.
I would like to go first on trivia because I only have one question.
I'll go first.
I've got 12.
I'll go first.
All right, PD. Your one question is, which robot who is a reference we've seen in a previous episode and is a reference to a, I want to say, a 1970s TV show, do we see at the beginning of this episode?
Is it the mom? The one who's like, coochie, coochie, coo?
No.
I don't understand reference to a 70s TV show.
Okay. I'm really giving seen you the robot answer before? To this one. Yes, we have. That's what I'm saying. If they've been in a previous episode.
It's at the robot convention?
Yeah, in the audience at the mom thing presentation.
Does it have a line?
Not in this episode, but they do in the last one.
If it doesn't have a line, I don't know if that's a fair trivia question, because that's basically a sign. It was someone in the audience.
No.
Yeah.
Now, this
is
good litigation, PD. That's a reasonable point, but I'm going to say this. Because it's a character and therefore immediately recognizable, that is not.
But it's an audience shot. Like, it's an establishing audience shot. Yeah. I wouldn't have seen a one random audience member.
Yes,
that'd be
would,
like
because
me
they
asking,
stand out like a sore thumb.
A 70s show? I'm
Let's
so
just say
confused.
They stick out like a pointy finger. Which robot have we seen that does this?
Oh, Isaac from Love Boat? Okay, that I will allow it this time,
that
but
was a
let's,
good question.
Let's keep it above board. I did not even notice Isaac.
That's your fault.
So that's
like,
an establishing shot. That's the same thing as a sign.
I wasn't paying attention to the dialogue in that moment. You can't ask me that question. That's what you just
said. No. That's the same thing as a sign. It's the equivalent. It's like an establishing shot, and it's something within an establishing shot that is not called out or spoken about.
No. Characters are the exception to that.
No way.
Yes.
I'd be like, who walked in the background at minute 43?
Yes.
Mom? I don't know.
That's totally valid. Those aren't fair. If it's a significant character... That's literally what trivia is, PD, okay?
Okay.
Why are you complaining you got a point?
My turn.
Potter. I literally should do this to you right now for the what you just said to me.
It's such a good – it sounds nothing like an actual punch, but in my
but
mind
it's immediately
also cartoons,
recognizable
like,
as a punch.
Yeah. What does the professor call Wernstrom?
Oh, I wasn't listening to the dialogue at that moment.
He's got so many good insults. You give it up?
He calls him I remember that moment, but I can't remember what he says, and then Wernstrom's like, "Nobody calls me that. I'm having at you."
Yeah, exactly. He calls him a glass-headed wallaby.
Classic.
I love it. What does Professor call Bender at the very end when he is trying to save everyone and then it goes straight to hell?
I don't remember that either. I was kind of skipping to the end.
He's like, "You walnut-paneled idiot."
Walnut-paneled idiot is great.
What classical composer is on Bender's list of island or desert island mixes?
Classical composer?
He's one of the most famous composers of all time, probably.
Mozart?
The other one.
Chopin? Bach?
No!
Johann Sebastian Bach.
God damn it. Who's the literally not Mozart, but
Beethoven?
Yes. I really gave you a lot of clues there.
I gave you a lot of clues too. So,
because your question was horse hockey. I will litigate till the day I die. That was horse hockey. Continuing. Okay. How much change does robot 1X sort? How much change is Robot One Xor? We're tight 45. We're tight 45. And I have to pee. Okay. Because I drank two LaCroix and they go straight through my pee-pee and they come out.
Okay, I'll only answer that if you agree that my question was actually valid.
I will never agree that your question is valid and I will take it to my grave.
Excuse me?
No establishing shots. That's a hard
rule. That's literally not the rule. The rule is signs. And you did some mental gymnastics.
He's basically a sign. You are, Your Honor. This case is thrown out because this is a kangaroo court.
I am the judge, counselor.
Today is opposite day, Your Honor. Quo erat demonstratum. I'm now the judge.
I'm the judge now. I'm the judge now.
Look at me. I am the judge now.
It's like if you could play like an Uno reverse card in the courtroom. This he's now found guilty. And it's like, well, Your Honor, he has an Uno reverse card, so you are found guilty.
You're like talking to your client. They're like, my goose is cooked. It's like a 90 baby. My goose is cooked. What are you going to do? And he opens up his briefcase and he's like, check it out. In a reverse card. He's like, still got one card up my sleeve. All right. We'll save that litigation for another day. How much change is Robot One X sort on
$4.74.
Wrong.
And one flocco or whatever the thing is called.
Wrong. You get one more guess.
Oh, it's $4.74 and one penny, one Albanian penny.
I'll give you one more guess because you keep getting closer, but.
$4.73 and one Albanian penny.
I'm actually going to give it to you because that's pretty fucking good. Technically, it's one Albanian lenk.
But it says one on it.
Yes.
So lank and penny are synonymous. Okay.
I will give that to you. That was fair. I'm impressed. And finally, what operating system does Wernstrom's robot use? Technically, it's a communications operation system, but it's
Linux.
It's like very antiquated. Now, I had to look up what it was, and I was like, oh, this is good trivia. No. This is, if you don't know it, it's like really far fucking off. It's called Lotus Notes.
Oh.
I was like, because he's like, I thought the Lotus Notes was like a forcep that he's got on his hand. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was like, I thought it was the other weapon that he has.
Me too. And I was like, what the hell is that? It's a proprietary collaborative software platform that provides as well as operating system. It was created in 1982 by IBM. Oh, and bought by IBM in 1985. In 2018, Lotus Software was acquired by HCL Technologies. So, yeah, I did not know that I was famous, but that's my trivia.
We have to wrap it up now. So thank you guys so much for listening again. Today we covered season five, episode 14. Next week we'll cover episode 15, which is – I didn't write it down. I apologize.
Well, good thing I did. I wrote it down so well. It's called Season 5, Episode 15, Bender Should Not Be Allowed on Television.
Oh, this is a good one. I was thinking this one would come up soon.
Yeah, and I wonder if that title is because they knew it was going to get Rude Television. Us farters.
Farters.
I wonder if they did that because they knew they were getting canceled, so like Bender shouldn't be allowed on television.
Oh, that's a good point. So guys, as always, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/worldoftomorrowpod. Or follow me on Threads for updates at the Most Chill Bro.
Find us wherever you listen to your podcast: Apple Podcasts,
Google, Spotify, Apple,
yeah,
and no longer Stitcher. RIP.
So RIP.
PD. Is there something that you'd like to say to our lovely listeners?
We'll love you forever. We'll love you for always. As long as you're listening, our friend you'll be. Now, take us out, guy from the war who says it was declared.
Unless, of course, war were declared.
What's that?
War were declared.
Bye.
Bye.